Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Wednesday to you, and happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. I hope you'll do something special for your spouse or your loved one and show affection and appreciation and acknowledge the important folks in your life and give them some appreciation today. And we're looking forward to a good service tonight. It's our Wednesday night midweek service, and that always is a wonderful time. We start at 6:30 on Wednesday evening. Our Spanish church starts at 7 on Wednesday evening. The only time we're a little different in our times, but we start at 6:30. We have children's clubs that meet, fully staffed nursery, and then we always have a great time in the auditorium with a wonderful singing. And then we have a missionary letter that's read every week from one of the missionaries we support. And then we have a prayer guide we give out for everyone with prayer requests on it. We have Man Lead Us in Prayer. And then, of course, we have a Bible study of the Word of God. And we've been going over First Things First on Wednesday night as we go along with our theme of Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we're looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful service tonight. If you don't have plans, come out and join us. And I think you'll be blessed with the midweek service here at Bible Baptist Church. Now, I want to share something with you today with Valentine's Day in mind. And I'm just calling it advice to married couples. If the Lord tarries and gives us till August of this year, Mrs. Slaybaugh and I will celebrate 45 years of marriage. And learned a few things along the way. And I've helped dozens and dozens and dozens of marriages throughout the 42 years now almost of ministry that the Lord has allowed us to have. And some things I've learned, of course, the hard way, which means I had to experience it. The best way to learn, someone said experience is the best teacher. Yeah, that's true. But you don't have to experience. You can learn from others' experience. And I know this, marriage is just like anything else. You must plan for success. If you don't plan for your success, then you're planning to fail. And I want to just give you some principles. Romans 16 is where we're going to get to eventually, and I'll share that with you in a minute. But let me give you some principles that'll help your marriage. Principles that'll help your marriage. Number one, decide that you and God will make the marriage work. It's never, well, I will if you will. It's not I will if you will or I won't if you won't. No. Don't say that to your partner. That's a covenant. Marriage is a covenant between you and God to love your spouse. And don't worry so much about whether they're keeping their end of the bargain. You be concerned about whether you're keeping your end of the bargain. Do what you committed to God to do when you were married. Just decide and determine that you and God will make the marriage work. God can do anything, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Number two, apply the verses about others in the Bible to you and your spouse. Be ye kind one to another, forgive one another, in honor preferring one another, love one another, pray one for another. All these others don't do any good if you don't apply them to those who are closest to you and to those who you live with. I'm reminded when Paul said not to be drunk with wine, when his excess would be filled with the Spirit. He talks about speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make melody heart unto the Lord. And then right after those verses, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and then husbands, love your wives. In other words, when you're filled with the Spirit, the first place it ought to show up is at home. Listen, if your Christianity isn't any good at home, it's just no good. And so be a Christian at home. Apply these one another's to your spouse in your marriage. Number three, do not argue. You say, well, we have disagreements. Must you speak your disagreement? If someone says something that you disagree with, must you say something? You know, we live in a society where we feel like we have to express our opinion about everything. But we don't have to. You know, I know every ball game that's on, they have an hour after the ball game's over, people to call in and criticize the coach and criticize the players or talk about what give their opinion. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Talk radio has lended itself to that. What do you think? So everybody thinks they have to have an opinion about everything. But you don't have to have an opinion about everything. So just don't argue. Number four, divide responsibilities. You don't have to decide on everything together. You can divide your areas of responsibility, and in that area, you're in charge of decisions. In that area, my wife is in charge of decisions. Okay, groceries. My wife is kind. She'll ask, is there anything you want, anything special you need? And listen, I don't tell her what to buy. If there's something I want, I'll ask her for it. There's times that I may make a breakfast, and there's some hot cereal and such that I can make, and I can make eggs and things like that. But I've never sat her down and said, let me help you make out the grocery list. You kidding me? No, that's her responsibility. I'm going to let her do it. I never tell her how to clean. She keeps a clean house. I don't tell her how to clean. That's her area of the house. Where she puts the furniture, it's up to her. It doesn't matter. I don't have any strong preference about that. You see, I'm going to give her that area. If I came home tonight, opened the door, and the couch was right in front of the door, and I had to crawl over the couch to get in the house, I'd say, well, that's interesting. That's unique. Listen, divide those areas of responsibilities, and then let them make the decision in those areas. Don't interfere. And now, finances, decisions should be made together. You both should know the finances and what your budget is and how to live by it. And see, here's where Romans 16:17 comes in. Look at Romans 16 and verse 17. Paul gives some great advice here. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. The word there for avoid is the word detour. Detour around them. When you know something's going to be a conflict, when you know something's going to be contrary and it's going to cause a problem, why don't you just avoid it? Why don't you detour around it? It's no problem then when you see a construction sign and detour signs are up. What is it doing? Getting you around the construction, getting you around the trouble. Well, why don't we just have some detour signs in our marriages where we're just going to avoid that area? We're not going to have a problem. All right, divide responsibilities. Number five, share common interests, not common decisions. Share common interests, but not common decisions. It's good to have mutual interests. I'm so grateful. Maybe through the years, but I think she kind of was that way when I married her. But my wife has become a sports fan. Now, I've grown up that way. I've been a Buckeye fan since a child and, just a sports fan in general. And so my wife now enjoys doing that with me. She loves to watch the football game just like I do, or the basketball game, whatever it is. And it's just a matter of getting along, doing things together, and having mutual interests and common interests. You're not trying to get along. You're just doing things that you can enjoy and learn to enjoy it together. My wife loves to play games, and so I've learned to try to play some games, and I enjoy it. And we play games together. So, but don't you try to make decisions together, and you're going to end up with some disagreements. So be careful. Common interests, but not necessarily common decisions. All right, number six, don't disagree over discipline. Parents still have children in the home, always back the other one 100%. Normally, one parent's going to be too soft, the other one will be too hard. And so, and the one who's too soft thinks the other one's too hard, and the one who's too hard thinks the other one's too soft. What should I say? Nothing. Better for the child to be disciplined wrongly than for the child to see the parents arguing about it. You know, children will play one against the other. They'll I remember when our boys were young, I'd come home and my wife would say, "Well, the boys did this today, and this is what I did. This is how I disciplined them." And she said, you know, she would always say, "Well, was that the right thing to do?" And I say, "Yes." Now, I may have done it differently, but I'm not the one who was home. She was the one who was home. And so I just always agree every time. You know why? It's done. It's over. There's nothing to change. And so, I'm not expecting her to be just like me. She's going to discipline them in whatever way she disciplines them was right. I agree. And so we do that every time. But if there's something to be discussed about discipline, you do it quietly behind closed doors. You don't do it in front of the children. All right, let me give you number 7. Never criticize the in-laws. I had wonderful in-laws, both my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. They were just as close to me as my own parents. They knew me well from, let's see, they went to be with the Lord in 2013 and 2014, and I've known them since 1976. So you do the math, that's a lot of years. And I had a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I loved them, and I think they loved me. Listen, I always look forward to them visiting. They would come. We used to be in a distant state, and they would come and spend 3 weeks, and I enjoyed it. I never criticized them. You never hear a mother-in-law joke from me. She was a godly, godly woman and a sweet lady, and I loved her with all my heart. So don't cultivate that. Don't criticize your in-laws either way. All right. Number 8, don't judge yourself. Just do what is right. Don't judge yourself. Just do what is right. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, therefore judge nothing. And in fact, he said, he that judgeth me is the Lord in verse 4. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing for the time until the Lord come, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. He said, so I don't not judge myself. I'm just waiting for judgment day. I just want to do the right thing. Just say I'm going to do right in God's sight. I'm going to be the mate God wants me to be. I'm gonna love her. I'm gonna do my best to willingly, sacrificially give myself to meet her needs with no thought of return. And I'm not going to have a lot of self-examination to step back and see whether I'm doing any good. I'm just going to do what's right. And that's how you have a good marriage. You each focus on what you ought to do in the sight of God. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, submit yourselves under your husbands in the Lord as unto the Lord. And you won't go wrong. And both of you be yielded to the Spirit of God. If you're a Spirit-filled husband and you're a Spirit-filled wife, you can have a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And the relationship that God intended the marriage to show, which is a relationship between Christ and the church. And that is a relationship that it lasts forever. Well, happy Valentine's Day. Hope you have a wonderful day with your sweetheart and that you make it a great Wednesday. Why don't you cap it off by being in church tonight? That'd be a great way to end the day. And we look forward to our service this evening. And then, Lord willing, we'll come back together tomorrow for the broadcast. And I'm going to talk about 3 qualities that are needed at all times. 3 qualities that are needed at all times. That'll be our broadcast tomorrow, okay? Well, listen, until then, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Shining light. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.